Good morning and welcome back to the Better Living Radio program. My name is Peter Lewis and I'm pleased to be able to join you once again, dear listeners. Today we continue our discussion on health. As in our previous program, we talked about the Egyptian diseases and the promise of God to keep us from those Egyptian diseases, heart disease, cancer, diabetes. After studying 36,000 Egyptian mummies, they found that the mummies, the Egyptians, were afflicted by the conditions that plague us today in this modern age. But somehow God's promise then in Exodus 15:26, beloved, I wish Exodus 15:26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments, he will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt upon thee, which he brought upon the Egyptian. And so we discussed that in our previous program. I want to show you how then, because it's based on a condition of obedience. I'm going to show you that this is not just abstract and that indeed obedience to the health laws will indeed improve our health, improve our well-being. I want to show you for a moment how that works. In the first three chapters of Genesis, when we read those three chapters, we come up with the idea of some things that are necessary for man's survival. God put oxygen in the air, which was very necessary. On day number two, day number one, he created day and night, which implies that man was designed to rest at night, work during the day. All right. Day two, the firmament, which there we deal with the oxygen, which is very necessary for our health. None would think to stay too long away from that and maintain health. Day number three, he created the food, the fruits, the nuts, the grains. Okay, he planted trees, or he caused the trees to grow, and he created the diet for man in his perfect state. Okay, in Genesis chapter 1, that's day number 3. Day number 4, he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And you know, friends, the sun is very necessary for us, for our survival and existence. If without the sun, no life would exist upon planet Earth. So we just can't do without it. And the sunlight has still much remedial benefit for us, making vitamin D available to our bodies and so on, so we can get our calciums available. So that's day number 4. Day number 5, well, he created the sea creature and the creatures in the air that fly above in the atmosphere. I think that was for beauty, and that was for relaxation, man spending time in nature among God's creatures. That's very relaxing. All right. But day number 6, he created man on day 6, as well as the land animal. And when he created man, who came forth in his image, looking like his creator, God said to him, have dominion over everything that he created. So God made man ruler over all of the creation on earth in Genesis 1, 25 and 26 and 27. And we see that then not only was man given dominion, which is self-control, which we call temperance today, which the word in the New Testament that's termed temperance is nothing but self-control. dominion, that's rulership. So God gave man that rulership over all of the earth. And certainly, if man was able to govern anything external of himself, surely he was able to govern himself likewise. And so that's temperance. And we dealt with rest, day one. Air, fresh air, which was day number two. Day six, we said he created man. Day seven, he created the Sabbath. And this was very unique. Okay, he created the Sabbath. He rested on the seventh day. And he blessed it. He made it a holy day for man in their perfect state, because God wanted that relationship. Man was created for relationship with his Maker. Nothing was more important to God than to have that relationship with his creatures, and that relationship would grow closer and closer and tighter. This was before sin. You see what I'm saying? So the possibilities that the Creator has for man is far beyond what we can imagine, friends. Now, sin only simply put a halt in God's plan. But his original plan then, so we call that trust in divine power, relationship. We were created as the temple that God dwell in us by his Spirit. So when we look at these here, in the Garden of Eden there in chapter 2, it brings out that there was plenty of water. Furthermore, when we look at the body of man, 75% water, surely water is very important to man. So we see in the garden, in those first three chapters, we get eight principles. First one, well, we're just going to put them in an acronym, which means new start. Nutrition, exercise. I didn't mention exercise, but God gave man a beautiful garden to dress it and to keep it, which suggests that he had to do some physical work. The daytime was meant for work. The fact that God gave man muscles shows that he intended for man to be on the move. Not only that he gave man muscles, but those muscles that sandwich the vein in the lower extremities, unless those muscles are moving, unless we are doing activity, the blood will not circulate back to go back up to the heart. So it's built in that God intended for man to be a creature of motion, on the move, physical activity. Okay, so we have nutrition, exercise, E for exercise, W for water, that spells new, okay? And then S for sunshine, T for temperance, A for air, R for rest, and T again for trust in divine power. So that's start. New start, a wonderful acronym that help us to understand that these principles, or we sometimes call them laws, are necessary for the health and building up of the body. Now, going back to what we covered in a previous program, it says, unless thou diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and obey him and keep all his commandments and so on and so forth, if we do that, then he will not allow any of the Egyptian diseases to come upon us. The commandments include not just the moral, but I do believe the physical. But where people are not familiar with the physical, then if they do all that they can and conscientiously obey God, give themselves to him, then he will override those situations there and bless them with increased health and strength. In today's society, where we are very knowledgeable of some of the very basic necessities of life, water, exercise, you know, we can't plead ignorance on that. So I'm going to, okay, all right, so violation of these here then, do they bring on illness? Can we understand how disobedience to these laws, these health laws, can they be traceable to any disease today? And the answer is overwhelmingly yes. Science is demonstrating that. One area of science which demonstrates the nutrition connection with disease, for example, even cancer, you can turn on cancer cell and turn them off by a person's diet. One research that brings that forth so clear, so amazingly clear, is the research done Forks Over Knife. It's a documentary presented, Forks Over Knife, and you can actually go to YouTube, plug in Forks Over Knives, fork, you know, the fork you eat with, over knife, the one that the doctors are used to cut you, you know. So if you take care of the forks, you won't have to be cut on. Okay, Forks Over Knife on YouTube, you can look at that documentary and see for yourself the overwhelming evidence that nutrition, our dietary habits, have a big part to play in the cancer situation, in your cardio situation, and all the degenerative diseases that are known today. All right, but I want to trace for a moment, just look at certain aspects. For example, look at heart disease, cholesterol formation in the vascular tissue there. Now, water relates to that very much, and I've talked about this before, but in this context, I'm using it to illustrate that disobedience to the laws which govern the operation of our body, our bodies, produces the effect which causes the cholesterol to be deposited in the blood vessel walls. Okay, I'm showing you that. Okay, so what happens? Let's say a person is not drinking water. And you know, this is very common. Lack of water will do more to undermine our health and lay the foundation for more disease than any other single element. Okay? In this instance, I'm illustrating the cardiac connection. Okay, so when the water levels go low in the body, all right, over a period of time, with years of improper fluid intake, particularly water, the tissue salts or electrolytes within the fluids increases tremendously in a scale of, let's say, 6.5 is the perfect, disregard what that number means, but just take it 6.5. Over a period of time of insufficient fluid, then we have the salts rise and rise, 35, 40, 50, in children we've seen it up to 70. And salts are electrolytes. Electrolytes cause for current to flow. We are an electroplating tank, so to speak. So our cells are formed. So if you have such higher volume of electrolyte, then it encourages a much larger volume of current flow. That's not even the aspect where I'm dealing with the cardio, that's just dealing with nerve issue, but we're not going there as far as where that's concerned right now. Let's focus on the cardiovascular. Alright, so that high salt has a work to do to penetrate all the smooth muscles in the body. It tend to dehydrate them. You know, salts dehydrate anything. Salts will pull fluid out. And so that high salt, sodium chloride being one, there are 49 different tissue salts within the system. Sodium chloride, table salt, plays a major role, but there are others. So that high salt pickles the smooth muscles, and the blood vessels are lined with smooth muscles. Dehydrate them and cause cracks and lesions to develop. So when the cracks and lesions develop now, the vessels, particularly the arteries, have lost their elasticity, their ability to expand and contract with the beating of the heart to get the blood where it needs to. Now, that message, there's a problem there in that area of that blood vessel, wherever this is taking place. This is then communicated to the brain, which then communicate the message to the liver. The liver goes to work and builds cholesterol as nature's top repair molecule and deposit it in the blood vessel wall, programmed to specific for that particular area that's having the problem with the high salts, hence the dehydration and the problem with the blood vessel at that point. So nature sends the cholesterol molecule there, and it get deposited there as an opportunity to repair the damage caused by the high salt. The problem is that nobody listens to nature. Nobody changes their lifestyle habits, so they continue the same course. So nature continues to build cholesterol, to deposit cholesterol in the area, until sooner or later the arteries may become clogged. Clogged, a heart attack, or a stroke. Now, if the person was drinking plenty of pure soft water, that would keep the salts low, keep the salts nicely where it need to be. But in the event, and they could be violating a lot of other stuff, they could be eating a lot of stuff, okay? But if they're drinking plenty of water, that could offset, that keep that salt low, and so the damaging effect of the salts never occur on the arterial wall. But because nobody is listening to nature, it gets clogged up. And a person may come now a heart attack or a stroke. Or if God's mercy is so great that, you know, your physician may find it before it totally clogged and decide to get rid of that deposit by one way or another. The situation is that when a person understands what's going on and begin to drink plenty of pure soft water, the softest of which is distilled water, they begin to drink plenty of pure soft water over a period of time, then nature lowers the salt, and if the nature lowers the salt, then as the salts are lowered, nature will begin to remove that cholesterol deposit bit by bit, piece by piece, just the same way it put it there. You see what I'm saying? And hence, the artery can come back looking nice. But if nobody begin to drink water, then what happens is that it, even though your physician may do some procedure to remove the deposit, over a period of years, if the person's lifestyle has not been changed, then friends, it get clogged up again, and it will continue to get clogged up until person learn the necessity of treating the temple in a much better way. You see what I'm saying? So that's one instance. At the same time, not only from the point of view of the high salt, but the idea of not drinking enough water is going to impact the digestion. It's going to affect your body's ability to digest the protein. So the protein factor in urea is going to elevate within the bloodstream. And the higher the urea goes, as compared to 3 over 3, total 6, the higher it rises when you get into 20, 25, 30, the blood end up being just plain too thick, and the heart just go into a spasm. And this is the thing, the reason for most of the crib death is that the mother's urea has been so high, and the baby feeding on that nutrient from the mother's blood end up having a high urea as well. Mother not drinking enough water, so the baby dies, their heart go into a spasm, and they die. So even apart from the cholesterol situation, young person, this is an issue when young people will begin to feel chest pains and so on. Not enough water, their blood get too thick. And by the same token, they can have a heart attack. So drinking plenty of pure, soft water is the best remedy that will affect all health condition, friends. If you're not drinking your water, it's going to affect whatever health condition you have. Know of a certainty that the lack of water is playing a major role, because without water, your liver won't function well and nothing else will function well as well. So, you know, I just want to encourage you. What God says, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto his voice, water, we illustrate, is just one of those laws. If we get insufficient, then it will be good. Half your body weight in ounces is usually the recommended amount that a person need to try to consume per day. Half the body weight. So if my weight is 180, for 80, 90 ounces, at least two-thirds of that should be in pure, plain water. The other third could be in teas and juices if it is necessary. If one is sweating, perspiring, then they have to disregard that rule and drink much more. If one has low blood sugar situation, then they have to do more juices and less water, or even cut back, or that will impact their health as well. So listeners, I want to invite you to tune in next week to the Better Living, and we will continue to discuss these health challenges. So we see water is very necessary for health. If you have any question, call me 731-279-0350 at the Better Living Health Food Store. God bless you.